in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
City Council meeting.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Busy night. What's going on? Mr. McIntosh, excuse me, roll call, please. Councilor White?
Here.
Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
And I'm here, so that makes 5 out of 5. Adjustments to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Good evening, Council. There are 2 adjustments to the agenda. Number 1, add a traffic safety committee report to the boards, commissions, committees section. It would be section 4, part B. And then the second addition is to add resolution number 24-1127, that is the Winston Police Association contract negotiations, to after the executive session, prior to adjournment. Yes.
Thank you. Council minutes for April 1st. Did everybody read those? Do we have a motion to approve?
I so moved.
Have a motion?
Second.
Motion in 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. I know Ellen wants to speak.
I do. Thank you. May I come first?
Please.
Thank you. Mayor, members of the council, thank you so much for entertaining me tonight. My name is Ellen Porter, president of Riverbend Live. The address is in Roseburg, and I was hoping to cover everything. I was wanting to come talk to you guys tonight about Riverbend Live. I know we had a little discussion last year and wanted to follow up with that regarding the 2024 season. And just so that you guys know, our schedule is set. Our bands are pretty much set. Our first show is going to be June 28th, and our last one is going to be on August the 5th. We're going to have 5 concerts this year, and then the youth theater. And we've had discussions in the past about fees and what's appropriate to pay the city and what may not be. And I would like to request of the City Council that Riverbend Live pay the fees or have the fees subtracted from our current balance of credit for each night that we have a musical concert. That would exclude our setup, because when we set up for, you know, everybody in the community that uses it all summer. It would exclude youth theater, both for the 2 nights of their performances, as well as the sometimes in the morning they like to practice a few days before their first onstage performance. And then it would also exclude our teardown day. So we would be paying then for a total of 5 days or nights, and excluding those other dates. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions if the council has any, if this is an appropriate time.
Any questions from y'all?
How much credit do they have at this time?
About 7 grand.
7,000?
Ish, yeah. Is that correct?
It's ish.
Yeah.
Ish. That's a technical term,
right? It works.
It is.
It works ish.
I don't remember the number off the top of my head.
I think it's enough to cover your expenses. Mr. McIntosh, Mr. Bauer, are we able to move something on this now, or do we want to wait till sometime in May?
It should come before you with a recommendation from the park board.
Sorry.
Typically, that's the way it takes place. We're happy to take it to the park board on your behalf.
Okay.
since you've shared in an open council, and then it would come back. I do believe Park Board will be meeting in short order, I think, next month.
And Thomas, if you need me to come back and speak to the Park Board, I certainly can.
Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you so much, y'all. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Have a good meeting.
Anybody else like to speak to council that doesn't have a position on the agenda? Seeing none? Okay, reports of boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Economic development, please, Mr. McIntosh.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, members of council, members of the audience. So real quick report for you. I just want to comment real quickly that Valen Curry, the chair of the Economic Development Committee, does a tremendous job orchestrating the meetings. Also, when we're done with the meetings, in very short order, within a 10-minute time frame, she sends the minutes for it. So just want to comment on how efficient and you know, the good job that she does. The Economic Development Committee met and discussed some of the ongoing projects, discussed anomaly some of the events, the two main events that the city of Winston is anchored on, the Wine Walk and the Oktoberfest. The funding aspects of those events. It was also discussed briefly that the core project currently has an offer. It has not been accepted. We don't know the value of that offer. The reason it was discussed there is because it runs in concert with the very long historical role that the city has played in contributing to the elements of that project, as well as the outgoing, outstanding permitting requirements that are still there for drainage and landscaping. So the Economic Development Committee discussed a little bit how they might be in a position to assist. CCD or Kim Todd shared a little bit on the pitch night. They do the pitch night. They do it typically every month. It's an opportunity for small businesses to come out and get a nominal amount of funding to help with their operation. They make their pitch, typically at Backside, which is where it'll be held this time. And that pretty much covered the meeting, Mayor. Includes my report.
Thank you. Any conversation as to why the Corps is even considering the offer?
I don't know that they are considering it. But from what we understand, it's less than half the value it would take to offset the costs that the investors put in. That's really the length of the information that we have at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Traffic safety, Councilor Cunningham, please.
We have one order of business that I'll come to in a moment, in that they request council action on.
Okay.
All right. The first one was looking at concerns of Looking Glass and Abraham concerning the corner. Anyway, there's several accidents that happened there. One causing property damage. Checking to see if a barrier could be put into place to protection of the corner and the fire hydrant. The committee did not feel at this time that the intersection was dangerous. The area is well lit. The only option for the homeowner, according to the safety committee meeting, is to take the fence back and put up their own barrier. And this is taken off the agenda. The next one, however, is that stop bars were removed from Abraham and Highway 42. They are not moved on Carey Street, and there will be no fence to be. The big item for the council for action this evening consists of a concern of traffic safety in the front of Winston Middle School. And my role is sit there and listen and make any comment that is particular that should be input from the city. However, speaking as a private citizen on this, it is a very legitimate concern. More than once I had had students jump out in front of my car, and thank goodness I was going very slow. So what the recommendation of the Traffic Safety Commission was to make, how can I put this, is where the cars line up, pick up the school students there, would be painted no parking and this was voted unanimously by the safety committee meeting. In other words, all the cars that are lined up there create blind spots in which there's people that are moving through cannot see.
How much of the street are you talking about, sir?
They were talking about going from the Public Works, just north of Public Works, or just east of Public Works, up through where the vacant property of the Church of the Nazarene is at, because there is a parking area that is used there right now. So they did not discuss how far it is, but that would certainly be the most logical. In other words, if they're parking in the parking area of the old where the church was, that's not a concern. And parking normally does not go up quite that far anyway. But from Public Works up to where the buses exit coming out, that would be the area of concern. And then I'll tell you right now, that is a blind spot, and it's an accident waiting to happen. And they are unanimous on that, and they feel that the safety committee feels that it is a matter of public safety, especially for the students, and it's something that needs to be addressed by the council.
Thank you. Where are we with making a decision on something like that without study?
Want me to take
yes.
that? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the recommendation from the Traffic Safety Committee. So one of the things that happens around the school zones is there's queuing. Happens in every school zone. So the first question comes up is, if the queuing can't take place there when they're waiting for their kids, then where do they queue at? Where are the cars? Where do they wait at? The other thing is in order to substantiate that there really is a safety conflict, and to move from the anecdotal to the empirical, there would need to be some study, and it would need to run in concert with the Manual for Uniform Traffic Control Devices, or the MUTCD. We can do some checking with the engineer to see what that would entail, and in honor of the committee's recommendation.
As I said, it was a very strong safety.
Well, I appreciate that. I just don't know legally whether we can just go out there and start spray painting the sidewalks, you know.
We'll give it our attention.
Do we have a time frame?
Well, I'm going to defer to Andy. We can check with our engineers ASAP and get an answer from them in terms of what that would look like. Our TSP engineers just finished our traffic system plan. And, you know, our regular engineering crew, they do civil work. This would more fall in the traffic area. Andy, what do you think?
Well, I guess my first question would be, would this school be interested in helping share the cost of that? Would be my first question, which we'd want to research and find out. The second question would be, is there a time stamp? I'm assuming right now we have school time. So there's no parking during this particular chunk of time. Or is it going to be more beneficial to do a couple cones in the short term with no parking that the school can set out? I'm just giving a couple examples of the process that we'd go through to determine that. So that would be a couple questions we'd want to answer.
Yeah, as I said, I can't make a decision on that, because all I can do is sit and listen and bring up the information to you. However, I think that it's a good thing for the city manager and that to resolve in a short amount of time as possible.
You know, rather than creating a no parking zone right off the bat, like Andy's suggestion, maybe throwing some cones out there for at least a stretch of it, and people generally respect those.
They'll probably park between the cones.
Well, it's not a perfect answer, but it's a place to start on short notice.
You can buy one of those orange things and put it from one cone to the other if you think that.
You know, speaking as a private citizen, since I drive by there, I used to teach at the school, okay, is that instead of is putting up no parking from such and such a time to such and such a time, and put two or three signs up there and make it do it that way. That'd probably be the cheapest way to do it.
Well, I can tell you that in the past, we did the years back, we did the painted no parking, and which they hold up okay, but then there's a maintenance cost in it also, because then you have to come back in every year, maybe every couple of years, have a there's just a cost.
Well, I'm just talking about putting up a sign, you wouldn't have the cost.
Yeah, that would be...
Yes, I'm not.
Whatever,
I do. From a time stamp perspective, whatever your solution is, you would want to have it implemented before the kids come back into school next year. So you have the summer to work through it and come up with your implementation plan.
That's kind of a long time.
Well, it's not going to have any school going on during that period of time. That's why.
Well, I know that. But I'm talking about a fairly long time to put into the school.
Yeah, not saying that it has to run all through that period. You just have that time frame to do your work with them.
Go ahead, take the call. We'll wait.
I'm so sorry. so embarrassed. No, I'm just kidding.
So when could we have something back so that we can make a decision?
We'll get a hold of our engineering crew, and we can, you know, a timetable is a little rough. It's hard to say just because we don't know if a study is involved. We don't know what that study looks like or how long it would take.
Do we have any cones now? Do we have any cones that we just put up?
The school's going to need to do that because
yes.
We don't have staff to go up and do that every day.
The school could do it.
I think
if
the school...
If we have some to supply to the school.
Oh. I think the school should be... school district should be made cognizant of this.
Okay, see what they can contact with the superintendent.
Yep.
Okay, anything else, sir?
Nope, that's it.
Any questions for Councilor Cunningham? Thank you. Mr. Sherlock, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been an enjoyable evening.
Mr. Sherlock is wastewater... Superintendent, you want to go ahead and give us your report, please, sir?
I don't really have a whole lot to add to the written, but one thing I can add, and it kind of goes in conjunction with the workshop, is we had some issues in our digester building over the last couple months. One of them was our boiler. We had two boilers. One was installed in 99, the other was in 2012. And the older boiler is in need of repair. The boiler itself is fine, but all the controls are old and outdated, and you usually have to go to eBay to get parts. That is on the list of things that the engineer would be looking at. So last month we had a control board fail. Luckily, the outfit that we have had an old one on the shelf, so that worked out. We also had a pump fail. We had enough spare parts on hand to repair the pump. However, that pump has been discontinued. And of course, the new pump, flange distances are different. So it's like it's a thing to put a new pump in there. So.
Chris, how much more are you? Every time I must go just exactly when they're hauling out the big tankers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that increased?
We saw a significant increase over this last winter, one because it rained a lot, and then also the landfill had made some changes up there based on DEQ's wants and needs, and that increased the amount of leachate
that brought to us. It seems like every time I go, it must just hit at the exact time they're taking it, but I'm sure it's seen a lot.
It's a lot. I think it was January we had close to 500 loads come through the plant. I know their facility is supposed to be coming online within the next month or two. So,
Christopher, is it more economical to continue to put band-aids and replacement parts than it is to replace the whole system?
The plant as a whole?
No, the boiler. Good luck, Phil.
Yeah.
Give it the mirror. I'll tell you that.
It's on the Christmas list every year.
Yeah, but seriously, is it putting band-aids on it all the time? Is it better?
The boiler itself is in decent shape.
Okay.
It's just the electrical and the control aspect of it.
Yeah, because
that's just one component to the whole digester system.
Because, you know, the rule of thumb is if it costs more than 50% to keep something in repair, it's easy, it's better, more economically to replace it. Mm-hmm.
Which, if we followed that, then we'd, I mean, but we are very good with bubble gum and duct tape, so enjoy that. Yeah, other than the digester and boiler issues, the staff just been setting up the plant for summer permit, which is right around the corner. So.
Any more questions for Mr. Sherlock? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. Mr. McIntosh, Community Development and Planning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. I don't have anything additional to add to my report, but we are pleased with the amount of additional new dwelling permits that we've been seeing. Those are starting to pick up. One part of that is there's a lot of kind of vacant spaces in Rosewood Park. There's been quite a few permits to fill those spaces, in addition to the permits that we've seen just for stick-built houses on lots that have been sitting for a while. So we've seen that pick up in some element. We're also, I wanted to put a credit in where credit is due. We've honed in on a very good system on our permitting process. The jurisdiction that I came from, it would take a couple, 3 weeks to review a permit and get it out, get into a property owner's hand. We do it in a few days. Part of that is because of the work that Public Works does. They get it there, they put it on the server, they do a site view, they fold everything in there. That runs in concert with the permitting process. So we have a very efficient process, very grateful for it because it helps the citizens, helps them move forward with their project, building their house, any permit, it falls. We actually have property folders on our server, and we have an electronic folder for every address in the city. And any business that happens on that property goes in the folder. And that idea was coined by Public Works. So I just kind of want to give them credit. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Kudos to Andy and Megan.
Megan's idea.
Kudos to Megan. Anything else, Mr. McIntosh? Any questions for Thomas?
I got one. Thomas, any other updates on the housing up above me? They're still not making much progress up there.
Above you? You're talking the extension of Safari Estates?
Yes.
We actually got an email about 2 or 3 weeks ago. The same realtor that did the original process, same engineer, their file, the 90 lots, it expired. So they didn't renew it. We always send out courtesy letters and emails saying, hey, this is going to expire. Your approval doesn't last forever. And that kind of fell on deaf ears, unfortunately. But they reached out and said, hey, where are we? It's expired. You need to put in for it again. They asked for a copy of the application, and that's where it was left. So I would expect them to potentially put it in again, but I don't know what length of time.
That's a mess.
Your Honor, if I may, follow up question. Is the question in relationship to the two large debacles? Well,
that too, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so just to bring you up to date, the ownership group has made tremendous strides on the housing up there. We had a number of houses up there that were just sitting. You have some of them are now sold. They've been moving along pretty well on a number of the houses. The two largest messes up there are yet to have any real work done on them other than ripping the siding off and replacing it and ripping it off and replacing
it.
So
they did get it roofed.
And roofs, yes.
Yes, they've been previously referred to as zombie houses. I think that we've kind of turned away from that because of how much progress they've made. There was 14 total. They only have 4 left. So, and I recently did a tour of some of the houses that were final, and I was very impressed with the job that they're doing there. The two ones that are down there lower in the hill, I think before we go into the summer, we're going to require them to at least cover up so the framing isn't exposed. They're trying to save those for last because they had the most systemic issues, but they're passing inspections. The houses are selling. Two of them just went pending on Brockway. for $465,000. So it's been a long road.
Speaking about houses, the house is red tagged on Thompson. Is there been any change on that, or what's the status?
Yeah, Public Works recently had some someone approach them on that. I'll let Andy speak on that.
Yeah, we had a couple. That's a good question. We had a couple of contractors reach out and have to start the questions on what they're going to do. We've explained to the contractor that you know, on the private side of that, whether you do a grinder pump system, whether you do a step system, whatever that may be, that's on the private side. And then we're just got to go to the county and all those regulations, make sure you meet the county requirements, and then when you get to our connection point. So we have been contacted. That's as far as it's gotten. We have not spoken directly with the property owner.
Okay, and I understand, too. I was just made aware that three houses were sold on Edgewood that were on the septic system. Is there any information regarding those three houses in relationship to hooking up to the sewer lines as required?
There's no sewer on Edgewood currently to hook up to other than on Evergreen.
Isn't the red tag placed by the county?
Yeah.
Not us?
Okay. Not us.
That's correct.
Any questions for Thomas? No. Mr. McIntosh, thank you. Mr. Bauer, City Manager, Administration, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, and members of the audience. For the last several years, we have been in a training process to bring Thomas along to take over upon my retirement at the end of this fiscal year, which is June 30th, and we are quickly approaching that time frame. So a number of my comments I'm going to save to the executive session because it has to do with the work that we've been doing in regards to the WPA agreement. But we will also be bringing you a transition package in May to move that process into the next stage. What you've seen so far is that I try to allow Thomas to do all of the speaking now, to interact. I'm there kind of as a shadow to oversee what's been going on, but most of this is now being shifted onto his plate. So through the budget process and through this transition period, we'll be talking about what happens with the new planning staff down the road, how we get there, those types of things. But it's kind of where we're at in the transition right now is that you see it's been Thomas's show here for the last couple of months. Fortunately or unfortunately, we've been able to condense almost a career worth of experience in 3 years with all the things that we've had come up for a city manager to actually interact on. So that's the good news. Bad news is all the things that we had to deal with. So, as you well know. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at this point in time. And so we're just moving into that direction where Thomas now will take over all administration conversations with you.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Any more questions for Mr. Bauer? Thank you very much. Appreciate your efforts. New business licenses. KB New and Used, Kayla Stevens, and Wayside Community Market, Rhonda Flood. That's the every other Sunday, Sunday market type of thing. These were all approved. Have a motion to approve these business licenses.
I make a motion to approve the new business license.
Have a motion looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Both same sign. Thank you very much. Council workshop dates. You have anything planned?
Not at this time, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Presentation of the Gold Star Families Memorial Monument. Rayanne?
Good evening, council members, and everybody else in the community. I'm Rayanne Rutledge, and I live here in town now at Pine Tree Apartments. I am with the Woody Williams Foundation, and we would like to build a Gold Star Family Memorial Monument in the committee. I would like to preface everything first, though, by saying I'm not asking for any money. I want to bring money into the community.
Yeah.
That's my whole point, is to, you know, bring tourism and stuff. So you guys won't have to do anything. But I would like to introduce one of my committee members. This is Leslie Broderick, and she is our financial officer. So she's the treasurer, one that's handling all the fundraising funds and how everything is going to be handled through the foundation and working with you guys as well.
Right. So just to interrupt you for a minute. So basically, as money comes in through fundraising efforts and that stuff, it all goes to the foundation. And the foundation does all the budgetary stuff for us. And we'll cut the checks to whoever needs to be done. But I'm just kind of the liaison to make sure that that all happens and that everything is up, you know, to speed, especially like with our merchandise that we would like to, you know, to also provide to help raise money that we may need. So
yeah.
Back to Ray.
Thank you.
Do you want to show the video really quick?
Sure, yeah. Thank you. I'm going to try to make this sound work.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah, so we have to be really quiet.
No. Yeah, we're going to try our best. This is coming from the laptop, so I'm just going to try to point it in the right direction.
Our mission is to honor, recognize, and serve Gold Star families and the legacy of their loved ones who've paid that ultimate sacrifice. And that really started with seeing a need. Really, one of the initial visions of our founder, Medal of Honor recipient, Woody Williams, was to develop and establish a place that belongs to Gold Star families, a place that they can go to meditate, to honor, to remember their loved one.
When they see that monument, that memorial, it actually represents their loved one. The grief is still there, that now there is something there that represents their loved one, which gives them some assurance that that loved one is not going to be forgotten. I have been called over the years many times a hero. I'm not. The heroes are those who never got to come home. They are the true heroes of America because they gave their lives for her and for us.
We as a country need to honor that sacrifice. We as a country need to recognize that sacrifice.
The Woody Williams Foundation. The cause is greater than I.
Thank you.
Well, if that's not enough of a tearjerker, sorry. I'm a Gold Star mom. My son, Rory, died by suicide in 2011. He was active duty Air Force, so it is obviously a cause that is close to my heart. We have five, including myself, Gold Star families in Douglas County that I know of. So it would really be beneficial to a lot of the community here. And that's just, when I say five Gold Star families, that's just families that have lost children that I know of. But we've all probably know someone that has lost a veteran or a family member. So there's a lot of Gold Star families out there. You guys received the email I sent, but this is kind of more printed out pictures of what the monument is. All the dimensions and detailing are on there as far as what the footprint would be. The proposed site, the one that we like the best, is at Winston Community Park. And this is just a Photoshop picture of kind of what it would be. Basically, this is without the landscaping or the benches or the cement footer that would be going on there and stuff. Pass this on to
Question, what made you choose Community Park?
The war memorial that's already there. The fact that there's ample parking because the opening ceremonies, the dedication ceremonies, the motorcycle rides, there'll be a significant amount of people, so we needed exposure, parking, place to park motorcycles. Some of the rides have up to 200 to 300 bikers.
And if I may interject something, yes. Not only for the rides and all of that stuff, but this will also bring in, this will be most likely the first memorial like this in Oregon. And it's a big deal. And so, I mean, it will also bring in many people just to come in and see the memorial and give their respects. So, I mean, we're not asking money from you, but we are hoping that with extra people coming into the city, it may help.
Oh, absolutely. Businesses.
Yeah, and like the benches, for instance, take an example, Roseburg Forest Products. We've applied for a grant for $25,000 for them. The total cost is around $125,000, which we will do during the fundraising aspect of it. Like I said, it won't cost you guys anything. At the end of the process, the monument is gifted back to the city. And I know there's some aftercare issue questions, and I'll address those in just a second. But like the video says, we really wanted a place for quiet reflection, and we thought, you know, what better way we could tie it into the war memorial up there, the new pavilions up there. We have the community center, you know, if we wanted to have fundraising events, and so that's basically why we wanted it there. And in all honesty, you guys have been amazing to deal with in comparison to your former city that I was working with. So, and we really want to get this built.
The other thing on this too, Mayor, when he asked his question, is if we already have the POW flag up there, and when you combine that with what your project is, that makes it somewhat of a full circle.
Yes.
Of that up there. That's one thing. And absolutely. The second thing is, I can't think of a more beautiful site in which to have it, because it overlooks the city.
Right.
And the park is always kept in well good shape. And not only that, the flag there has the lights on it, and as by federal law, it has lights on for shows for 24 hours.
Right, and there's benches already set on the outside perimeter of that, so we could, like Andy and I were talking the other day, maybe have a walkway from the War Memorial to the Gold Star Memorial, you know, and have benches there as well, so it would tie in really nice.
Yeah, it'd be a perfect package.
I think that'd be awesome as well. My question was, consider maybe checking out the Wayside Park as part of it, kind of move the focus around the city a little bit.
I think the best part of it would be where we're discussing right now.
And that's fine. I just wanted to throw it out.
Yeah, and the reason for that is it's a higher traffic volume where people can come and go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Higher place for reflection.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have any comments?
No, I think this is pretty exciting. You know, this, you can get behind that and support that would be pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I may, Your Honor.
Please.
Question, you indicated 100, that this is manager talk, 125,000.
Mm-hmm.
What's inclusive in that 125,000?
What are we getting when we, okay, so the granite, there's four granite panels. So, and which they've already ordered. So that's a cost. The cement footer, the construction, that's a cost. Just the logistics going into building that.
The question was, does it cover sidewalks to get to the memorial as well?
We can implement that in, I'm sure.
Yeah, because you had indicated without landscaping and walkways, so I was just
sure. Yeah, there's some leeway in that.
Yeah.
Well, the
Is that where you're proposing?
Yeah, so that's like right in between the bathrooms, the restrooms, and the war memorial.
Yeah, that's a good fit.
So just because we have to have a little bit of this in our town, happen to have, I mean, vandalism an issue?
It doesn't really seem to be. I talked to the foundation about that because I know it was really a concern in Roseburg. Fortunately, they are pretty easy to take care of as far as if they were to get defamed or defaced in any way. So.
It's always a concern.
Yeah.
Just
with anything, yeah.
And then what were you going to say about the maintenance? Mm-hmm.
The aftercare. Okay, so the monument would be gifted back to the city. My proposal is, and I've already spoken to several people that are involved with veterans agencies around here, including the VFW, of getting some of those groups committed to helping with the aftercare. One of the only really concerns is the irrigation. The sprinklers sometimes can cause white spots on the black granite, but other than that, it's not really. Since it's already maintained up there and everything, it shouldn't be that much of an issue.
Maybe like resealing the base slab every so often. I don't know. Do you think that would last, Andy? You know about
that. Well, that's what we kind of talked about. Yeah. You know, probably relocating an irrigation system because that river water, of course, would cause issues. So we would look at kind of setting up the irrigation system, kind of getting once you get a well-defined layout of the project, and you know, like I said, any other I don't know what it costs for. My only reference to would be something on like a headstone, something I'm more familiar with maintaining. But what would that look like in something that size? And I like the idea because years ago we had a volunteer who took care of the war memorial with the flags. That individual would raise and lower them, would properly take care of the flag. That was part of that went on for years, and then things happened. But that would be exciting to get an actual group that would help maintain that because that could be a really nice area. One of the things you may narrow the spot down is possibly maybe more towards up by that pine tree area.
Yeah.
Something not so much out in the field because that's going to.
Right. No, I mean, I think he did that just for the Photoshop aspect of it, but yeah, a little bit closer.
Yeah, because that would be my concern too, because if you go to the park on, say, a Saturday, there's dog training, there's people playing baseball, all in this big field. So there's like, certain
sections. Yeah, it would be closer to the parking lot than I guess what the picture would indicate. So.
Yeah.
Closer. And then there's also the area that's right, I would say, in behind the War Memorial, between the War Memorial and Thompson Street. But there is a little bit of a slope there, so I don't know what kind of, issue that would bring. But, we'd be able to go out and walk it and, finalize it. I just need an okay from the city of Winston to put it somewhere. That's all I want.
You mean place it properly in a park, don't you?
Yes. I want to place it legally in a park. I don't want you to just show up one day and there's a monument. I threaten Rose. So what's going to happen if you just wake up one day and there's a monument right there? What you can do?
That would be perfect. I'd love that. Any questions for Rhea? For Rhea? Where do we go from here, Mr. McIntosh?
Well, we'll continue to work with Public Works. We can meet with you again, figure out what that looks like, the financial elements.
Can we take a vote on this?
Yes. Is it actionable tonight?
It is.
Can I make a motion that we put the Gold Star Monument in the community park?
Can I second it?
Well, let's make sure we got all the I's dotted and T's crossed on that. Is that good enough?
Okay.
So I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the matter? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited.
Sorry.
Okay, all good. Resolution 24-126. By title only, please, Mr. McIntyre.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Good evening, members of the audience. Resolution number 24-1126, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Civil West Engineering Services for the completion of an environmental review for future construction of an inverted sewer siphon for an amount not to exceed $24,498.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Staff report, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is one of the last elements, as I previously stated, to getting to a place to where we can sign our loan construction loan documents for the siphon and Abraham project. What it entails is an individual has to look at the Looking Glass Creek and the South Umpqua River. They have to look at environmental factors. And they have to do that by following the benchmarks that are put in place through the specific environmental agencies. There are different environmental acts and provisions that were put in place that we have to follow. For example, the Floodplain Management Act, or an executive order, the Farmland Protection Policy of 1981, Coastal Zone Management Act, which that doesn't apply here, the Wildlife and Scenic Rivers Act, Endangered Species Act, Clean Air Act, and Safe Water Drinking Act. All of those have to be followed, and it falls under the umbrella of the environmental review. Well, we counseled with our engineering group, Civil West. They have an individual on staff that can essentially make the argument that the more severe study of the rivers or a biological study is not needed because of what we know up front already. The provisions still have to be followed in order to check the boxes with these different federal and state agencies. But essentially, this would allow us to cover the requirement for the environmental aspects to approach the loan process. After this, there's really no boxes to check on that. We would be at a place to where we can sign documents. So it's projected to take between 3 to 4 months for this review and for concurrence to be received back. Because part of it is we do the review, but they have to agree. Those agencies, they have to agree. They have to say, yes, we agree based on XYZ that you put in. The review in its entirety will cost $24,498, and that would come out of the ARPA funding that was allocated towards the siphon project. It hasn't been reallocated thus far, but we just kind of talked about that. The funding is still there, allocated in that direction. We're happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McIntyre? Comments from the audience? Council action. Motion to approve 24-1126, please.
I'll make a motion. We approve 24-1126.
Have a motion in search of a second.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Okay, number 8, non-agenda items from council. Any of y'all got something to talk about?
Yes, just for a moment. On the check claim in excess of $500, you know, $500 now will probably want to hardly buy you a postage stamp.
Depends on where you want to mail it.
And the point of it is why not, when was the last time that we raised the claims in excess of $500 category? Because, you know, way prices are going today, it's becoming more and more and more. Why not raise the up to maybe to 1,000 or up to which management thinks is a good idea?
I think part of it is just a means of controlling the expenses.
I understand that.
Okay.
But the point of it is that the $500 is getting more and more and more and more. What's your opinion, Mark?
If I may, Your Honor?
Please.
There are several things in regards to the financial limits that we have set on ourselves that need to be addressed, that haven't been addressed in over 10 years. This is one of them. And as the counselor points out, you know, we're showing things now for 500 or greater that we, you know, wouldn't have shown before. So there's that that needs to be updated. Another one that needs to be looked at is we have a limit of $1,000 as a definition of capital. We need to look at that definition and evaluate, is it a consumable? Is it, you know, is it a long-term capital improvement? What is it? What is a reasonable level to expect your capital projects to be limited to? So there are several of those, and I agree they need to be updated.
So what I would suggest is that the city manager and the assistant city manager take a look and see what would be appropriate increases that would be most satisfactory.
I think I'd like to get through the budgetary process prior to that, sir.
Agreed.
So let's look at maybe after Mr. Bauer has made his exit, Mr. McIntosh can.
Well, I thought that we better take a close look at the money first before he leaves.
So there's that. We did buy a new truck.
Oh!
And a boat.
And a boat? Yeah. He's got a dog that's cost him a lot of money, too. Anyway, we'll take a look at that. Any more questions? Any more off agenda items?
No.
Okay, so. Upcoming agenda items, we have anything to look forward to?
We are gathering our agenda items that are yet to be announced, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Good to the order with check copies and claims in excess of $500 items in our packet. Planning Commission, April 22nd at 7 p.m. in the City Hall. The first Budget Committee meeting is going to be April 29th, 6 p.m. City Hall. Public welcome to attend, although there will be no public comments taken at this meeting. City Council meeting May 6th, we have all kinds of fun stuff planned for that. Second budget meeting May 7th at 4 o'clock, Winston Community Center. Public welcome to attend and public comments will be heard at this meeting. Executive session, pursuant to ORS 192.6602D to conduct deliberations with persons by the governing body to carry on labor negotiations. We're going to start that tonight, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. You guys can